You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Good morning. Good morning. It is so great to have you guys. My name is Josh. I'm part of the team here. I'm excited to be bringing God's word this morning. We've been in a series for a little while now, a few months, about the kingdom of God. And today, the series that we're in on the kingdom and the season of Christmas collide in a message I've called Kingdom Waiting. Right now in the church calendar, we're in the season of Advent, and I absolutely love Advent. Does anyone else love Advent? Anyone else? I absolutely love it. It's the season before Christmas where excitement is rising, anticipation is building, we're preparing our hearts for all that is to come at Christmas. But how many of you know Advent isn't just about getting ready for Christmas? Advent is a two-direction season. Yes, we look back at the first coming of Christ. We get our hearts ready again to celebrate the coming into the world of God in flesh. But it's also about looking forward. Advent is about gazing into the future and looking at that time when Jesus will come again for a second time and his kingdom will come in its fullness. He will return and he will make all things right and all things new, and it will be wonderful. And so as we look back and as we look forward in Advent, we find ourselves in the gap in between. We sit in the tension between his first coming and his second coming. This is Advent. It's a time of celebration, but it's also a time to ache. It's a season of great hope and expectation, but it's also a time of longing and mourning. Christ has come, but he is still to come. And amidst all the busyness and the hurry and the distraction of Christmas, Advent is actually a gift. It is a beautiful opportunity for us to slow down and stop and become fully present to what God is doing in our lives and in this season. And more than anything, Advent is about waiting. How many of you know that waiting is an unavoidable part of life? We've all experienced the pain, haven't we? The frustration, the angst of waiting. If I can be honest, in church this morning, I am not a good waiter. Any other bad waiters out there? Some of you, more honest than the 9:30 service, thank you. I was on my way to York on Thursday. I was going to speak at an event, and I was listening to a podcast in preparing this week for this message about patience and about waiting well in the season of Advent. And I found myself stood in standstill traffic behind a broken down lorry. And the time was adding up on my Google Maps, and I was getting increasingly infuriated. And the irony wasn't lost on me that I was listening to a podcast about how to wait well, and I found myself getting less and less sanctified by the second. I was so annoyed. Does anyone else hate waiting here? Anyone else hate waiting? The thing about waiting is this: if you are human, you are acquainted with waiting. We all wait, don't we? Every single one of us. Dr. Seuss, in his kids' book, Oh, the Places You Go, is one of our favorite books. I read it with Ivy a lot. It's about the journey of life. And the main character in the poem ends up in a place called the waiting place. It says this: the waiting place is for people just waiting. Waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or the waiting around for a yes or a no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. We're all waiting, aren't we, in life? I wait a lot in my house. I wait for my wife to decide what to watch on Netflix. And then when she finally decides, we've run out of time. Here's one of my least favorite ones, is when you're on your phone and your phone runs out of battery and you plug it in and it takes like a year to charge back up. Anyone else? Nope. What about waiting for England to win the World Cup? 60 years next year, 60 years of hurt. It's coming home in faith. It's Christmas, sorry. Waiting is an unavoidable part of life. It's inevitable, but it's actually an incredibly important part of our life with God and our discipleship to Jesus. We are all waiting, but how many of us know it's not easy to wait? Here's a few reasons why we don't like waiting. Number one, we live in an instant culture. We're not used to waiting. People call it the microwave generation. It's all about efficiency and effectiveness. We can get nearly everything we want at the push of a button. Patience has become a lost virtue. And if you're anything like me, when we don't get what we want when we want, when we don't get somewhere on time, internally we become anxious and stressed and frustrated. In fact, every moment where we find ourselves needing to wait, we distract ourselves from the process of waiting. We do everything we can to avoid waiting. Let me give you an example. If you're in the waiting for a dentist appointment or say you're in a queue at Lidl, there's a bit of a queue in front of you, what do you do while you're queuing? Maybe it's just me, get my phone out and distract myself from the process of waiting. We do everything we can to avoid waiting. So we live in an instant culture. Number two, waiting feels like losing control. We're used to managing our lives. We're used to making things happen. So when we have to wait for something, we are confronted with the reality that we are really not in control. The universe does not revolve around us and we are not ultimately in charge. So another reason why we don't like waiting is that we confuse delay with disappearance. So when God says no, or God makes us wait for something that we long for, we take it often as a sign that he's left us rather than that he loves us. We perceive that as punishment rather than part of his divine process for our good. Fourth reason why we don't like waiting is we fear missing out. We get FOMO. Waiting exposes comparison in our hearts. In waiting seasons, we often look at people around us that aren't waiting, that have the dream life or the things that we long for, maybe on social media, and we think, I am not where I should be. I'm not doing enough. I don't have what I want. And often waiting seasons bring out deep insecurities in our hearts. And finally, we often in our culture, another reason why we don't like waiting is that we focus so much on the end destination rather than the process we're on. So in our culture, we're always looking at the end goal. We're focused on the finish line. We hate the waiting seasons because they slow us down. But in reality, the in-between times of waiting, they are actually the places in our lives of greatest transformation. Waiting, although painful, can be a real gift. And so far today, I've only mentioned some of the trivial things that we wait for. Think of some other things people might be waiting for. What about those waiting for a diagnosis or a healing from the Lord? What about those waiting for a job which will help and provide financial stability for their family? What about waiting for a spouse or a baby or a house? What about waiting for justice or peace or reconciliation in a relationship or waiting for revival and for God's kingdom to come? We are all waiting for something, and Advent is the season of waiting. So I want to zone in for the rest of my time and look at a character in the Christmas story who was adept at waiting. He was a man who knew how to wait well, and I believe there are some principles and lessons we can learn from him. His name is Simeon. If you've got a Bible, jump to Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 25. Words on the screen. This is what it says. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms. And he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. So here in Luke's gospel, we are introduced to Simeon. The Bible tells us that Simeon was waiting. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Another word for consolation is comfort. So Simeon was waiting for God to come and rescue his people. The promise of the Messiah had been given hundreds of years before. The prophets had whispered of this saving one who was going to come to earth and rescue God's people. And Simeon had been given a personal promise that he would see the Messiah. But up until this point, he had not seen the fulfillment of either promise. Simeon was living in between a promise given and a promise fulfilled, one of these in-between waiting moments. I wonder if you're here today, if you find yourself in an in-between moment between the dreams that you carry and the life that you're actually living, maybe between the promises that God has given you and the fulfillment of those promises, the circumstances of your life look nothing like what you feel God has promised you. Or maybe there's a vision that you've got for your life, but the reality of where you are is like a million miles away from that. These in-between places are places of waiting. They're places of uncertainty, of silence, of not knowing, of transition, and they're really hard to navigate. So let me ask you today, where are you in an in-between moment in your life right now? Where is there deferred hope? Where in your life are you longing for something? What are you waiting on, and how are you doing in the middle of your waiting season? I asked my 5-year-old Ivy, what's the hardest thing to wait for? And she said this, when you're in the queue to get ice cream. It's like when you're so desperate for something, 5 minutes feels like a million years. Have you ever noticed that the more you long for something, the more you desire and want something, the harder it feels to wait for that? Ivy, as I asked her, she recounted a very specific story. We were on the Isle of Man and we waited in literally a 5-minute queue. But for her, it felt like a million years. And for her, it brought up all sorts of fears. At the time, she said things like, what if they run out? What if they miss out? And I realized that these waiting seasons, these in-between seasons that we're in, can oftentimes bring up some deep emotions in our lives and in our hearts. And I think the most visceral of these is the emotion of fear. The more we long for something, the more fear rises in our hearts. The fear that the future will disappoint us. The fear that God will let us down. The fear that what we desire most will never come. But throughout Scripture, we see that waiting is not a punishment or the absence of God. It's actually an unavoidable part of our discipleship to Jesus. Part of his kindness to us. Think of all the heroes of faith throughout Scripture that waited on God. David waited 15 years to be king. Moses waited 40 years in the wilderness to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Sarah waited 25 years for her child Isaac. Joseph waited 13 in slavery in prison. Jesus himself waited in obscurity 30 years before he stepped into ministry. Think of all the people in the Christmas story who waited. Anna was a widow for 80 years, and she spent her time worshiping, fasting, praying, waiting for redemption. Mary waited in faith for a promise she didn't fully understand. Joseph waited in obedience and trust, even though the situation looked crazy and made no sense. The wise men followed a star, waited on a long journey, months, probably years, following a sign they felt from God. Zechariah and Elizabeth waited a lifetime for a child. And so God is in the business of inviting his people to wait on him. It's not punishment, it's actually provision. And I wonder if in these in-between moments, whether we dare ask these kind of questions. God, what are you doing in me through this waiting season? And what does this season of waiting make accessible to me that I couldn't access before? So how do we wait well? Let me give you 3 thoughts. Number 1, seek first the kingdom of God. It's so easy, isn't it, in the in-between seasons of waiting and silence to be discouraged in life, to become disillusioned, to become disappointed, to allow our pain, our frustration, our anger to derail our faith in God. Many Christians have hit this wall. They're walking through life, so many hopes and dreams and expectations, and they go through a valley season of waiting, and they give up on God. Simeon, however, spent his life waiting on the fulfillment of a promise. But how did he do that? The Bible says he was 2 things, righteous and devout. Righteousness speaks of his right relationship with the Lord, with others. And devout speaks of his relationship with God, his love for the Lord. He was righteous in his actions with people, and he was devout in his relationship with the Lord. Which tells us that in his waiting, Simeon didn't get bitter. He didn't walk out on God. He didn't allow his unfulfilled expectations or unrealized promises to shape his life and future. His perspective was, hey, if God has promised me something, but it's not yet come to pass, it must mean there's a better time. And so I refuse to let the enemy steal my joy or shipwreck my calling. I'm going to commit to simply doing the right thing, living righteously when it feels good and when it doesn't, being devoted to God when things are going well and when things are tough. This is how Simeon waited. In the words of Jesus, it looks like seeking first the kingdom of God, and then everything gets added to you. lot of Christians, I think, wait for things to be added before they seek first. They say things like, oh God, when I have more money, then I'll be generous. When I have more time, then I'll serve. When I find my spouse or get my house or have kids or whatever it is, then I'll go all in for Jesus. But in the meantime, I need to be in control of my own life. I need to be the king or queen of my own story. And things go wrong when they have a waiting season. Seeking first speaks of an unreserved, relentless pursuit of the kingdom of God. It's like everything in my life comes secondary to King Jesus and his ways and his purposes. It is to say this, I am living in an in-between moment and I'm waiting on the Lord. But as I wait, I'm going to choose to live rightly. I'm going to choose devotion. And my prayer is that not that my will would be done, but that his would. When I'm waiting, I'm going to live right. When I'm frustrated, I'm going to choose faith. When I'm depleted, I'm going to depend on him. When I'm in darkness, I'm going to worship. When a promise is unfulfilled in my life, I'm going to choose gratitude. These times of waiting are often times of testing where we are confronted with the question, is God enough for me? Is God enough for me? If I never get what I feel like has been promised, or what I desire, what I long for, is Jesus enough? So Simeon waited righteously with devotion to the Lord, seeking first the kingdom. Verse 25 gives us our second way that he waited. It's this, he waited with the Holy Spirit. Waited with the Holy Spirit. Bible says the Holy Spirit was on him. There was something about Simeon which marked him as a person who walked closely with the Lord. God rested on him. There was an anointing, a presence of his life, on his life, enabling him to wait. I wonder how many of us have been living in our waiting seasons and trying to do it on our own without him. Maybe we feel like we're waiting on a God who is far away, a God who maybe we're frustrated with or disappointed with or even angry with because he's disappointed us, he's let us down. And so we don't want to invite him close. We're waiting for him to do something from afar when in reality, God longs to meet us in our waiting and wait with us. Simeon was waiting for God. He was deeply anointed by the Spirit of God. In fact, I don't know if you noticed, even in these eight verses, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is referenced three times. The Spirit of God was on him, the Holy Spirit had spoken to him and given him a promise, and the Holy Spirit moved him to the temple where he met Jesus. And I want to suggest today that it is impossible to wait well apart from the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to wait well. Our seasons of waiting are intended to be guided and led by our Good Shepherd. And oftentimes we try and navigate these seasons of waiting and uncertainty without the one who knows it all. We try and navigate loss without the one who conquered death. We try and navigate loneliness without the one who is always present. We try and navigate grief without our comforter. We try and find direction without our helper. It was just over a year ago, last week, that my dad became very ill very suddenly. He'd had a number of significant bleeds on his brain. And was in hospital for an extended period of time. He had four brain surgeries in quite a short period of time. And there was one point where it wasn't looking good. And we had no idea, like, is he going to come through this? Is he going to make it? And it was a really hard time, a really dark time. It was one of these in-between moments. We're waiting, we're praying, we're believing, we're contending for God to do something in his life. But you just don't know. And we're supported by the church and obviously, but we could not have gone through that in-between season without the Holy Spirit. He was our closest friend. He was just the very present help in times of trouble. He was with us every step of the way. He encouraged our souls when things looked bleak and dark. And praise God, we came through it. As a year ago, we celebrated it because my dad is well, he's happy, and he's moved to Hull. He's joined our church. And so I'm so grateful to God. But we wouldn't have been able to get through these dark times without the presence of God. So we need to wait with him. Notice some of the things that Simeon did. He heard the voice of the Spirit, which gave him a promise. And then he obeyed the nudge of the Spirit, which led to the fulfillment of the promise. Go to the temple at this time. Which tells us the key to waiting well and seeing the promises of God fulfilled is intimacy with the Holy Spirit. So firstly, have we drawn close enough to God to hear his promises to us, just like Simeon did? See, a lot of Christians, I think, find waiting unbearable because we've never heard the promise. Henry Nouwen says that, he's a priest and a writer, he says the people who wait well have received a promise which allows them to wait. They've received something which is at a work in them. There's like a seed that's been planted that we cling to through times of not being able to see. Secondly, are we listening to the Holy Spirit for his leading towards the fulfillment of that promise? I wonder if mobile phones were present back 2,000 years ago, if Simeon happened to be distracted at that moment when we were scrolling on Instagram or whatever, and he missed the moment where the Holy Spirit is nudging him to go to the temple. Waiting well involves being attentive, listening, being on the edge of our seat, ready for whatever God might want to do. Simeon lived marked by the Spirit. He listened to the Spirit and he walked by the Spirit. And then finally, it's my last point, Simeon waited with hope and expectation. When we think of waiting, oftentimes we imagine standing by until something happens, like twiddling our thumbs, we're at the bus stop and we're just waiting for time to pass us by as like a passive experience. But that's not the waiting that Simeon does. He doesn't wait passively, he waits intentionally. The Greek word for waiting in this passage is the word prostekomai. And it doesn't mean just wait, it carries ideas like watching, looking forward to, eagerly expecting, awaiting, and even receiving. So for Simeon, waiting wasn't just passing the time, it was what he was called to. It wasn't a byproduct of missed experience, it was the experience, it was the purpose, it was his calling. He's described as a man who actively and intentionally waits. Psalm 130 likens those who wait on the Lord as being like a watchman who waits for the morning. It says this, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for morning, more than the watchmen wait for the morning. So the waiting we are called to do as Christians is not passive, go on my phone while I wait for the bus kind of waiting. It looks like a certain confidence that no matter how dark the nighttime is, we are sure that the sun will rise. We have eternal hope that Jesus will come back and his goodness and his mercy and his faithfulness will follow us all the days of our life. That one day he will return and make things right. This is the anchor for our souls. Like the watchmen, they would watch the horizon for the first sign of dawn. They were leaning in. They knew this is definitely coming. This is the level of hope and expectation that we are called to have as followers of Jesus. Waiting with expectation means holding on to hope, staying alert and trusting that God will move in his timing. Ruth Haley Barton says this, active waiting contains a seed of expectancy and hope. So let me ask you finally this afternoon now, where are you placing your hope, church? Are you placing your hope in God or in getting what you're waiting for? See, a lot of people, I think, imagine that when they finally get what they want, that they will be fulfilled. If only I get this, then I will be complete. Then the turmoil will end. Then the pain will end. But that is to miss the point. God allows us to wait more often than not to show us that the things we have put our hope in will never truly satisfy our hearts. They cannot sustain our hope. Real hope, eternal hope, everlasting hope is found in Jesus. He is our true hope. And this is how we can wait well. Whatever we've gone through, whatever we might go through in life, we wait well doing the right thing, living devoted to Jesus. We wait well walking with the Holy Spirit, attentive to his voice, and we wait well with hope and expectation that no matter the darkness of our world, the sun will rise again and Jesus will return. And this is the beauty of Advent. God meets us in the journey, meets us in the process, meets us in the waiting, and if we let him, we'll do amazing things as we live in the in-between time. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.